and welcome to another edition of Inside the Burrow, the FEU podcast for and by fans. My name is Dan, and I am joined, as usual, by Jack and Shane. And tonight, we are going to go in greater detail than we did last Sunday about FEU's opponent this week, Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky is sitting atop, after the loss to Marshall, they are in second place in Conference USA. Very similar records. The same record. FAU and Western Kentucky both sitting at 5-3. Western Kentucky is 4-1 in the conference, with their only loss coming to Marshall. We talked a little bit about that last week. FAU 3-1 in conference, with, as everyone knows, our lone loss to Marshall as well. So this is a big game. Every game from here on out is going to be a big game. FAU, there's a lot to gain, and we'll see really from the outcome of this game, you know, whether our season is going to be something special or, you know, just a good season, which all of us on this podcast kind of predicted to have a good to pretty good season. I don't think any of us really thought we'd be winning the conference, but here we are having a chance to do that. So FAU versus Western Kentucky this Saturday. Western Kentucky really kind of had a little bit of an up and down season, lost to an FCS team, Central Arkansas, to start off the season, pretty rough. Lost to Louisville and lost to Marshall. So, I guess two decent losses. But, Shane, what do you think about Western Kentucky's, you know, some of their strengths? What do you think FAU has to do in this game to succeed?
Well, it's kind of hard for them to with just strengths. Their strength is they stay in every football game and just figure out a way to win it. I mean, if you kind of dive deep into their stats, nothing really stands out to you. Some of their defensive stats are great. D'Angelo Malone, who's the key to this game, and we'll talk about him in a little bit and stopping him. But, you know, they're one of the worst in turnover margin. They have the third worst rushing offense. Their passing offense is middle of the pack in Conference USA. They haven't, outside of Louisville, they really haven't played any, you know, Ohio State or UCF types to kind of throw some of those stats off. You know, they've just won a lot of close games. You know, the Old Dominion team that we just beat handily, even with our starting quarterback being out, in the second half, they only managed to score 20 points against Charlotte, who has won, you know, who's a much better team, but their defense has just been pretty bad this year. They scored 30 points on the dot, but two came off trick plays. They didn't break 400 yards for Charlotte. They kind of like these long, sustained 10 play drives. You know, their quarterback who came in, Ty Story, who's only started the last, I think, five games for them, has just kind of done the game manager thing. And, you know, again, nothing really sticks out about them, but they just find way to win games by just staying in it defensively and just kind of getting over the hump and making the play they need to.
You know, Shane, this Western Kentucky team reminds me a lot of a team that I think you would like. Very sound defensively. They find out ways to squeak games, pull games out of their teeth. I feel like this team's right up your alley while, you know, enjoy the much more intricate, high-octane offenses. Their defense is really stout. You said that, and it's a joke. 18th in passing defense, 28th in rushing defense, 16th overall. To put that in perspective with some of FAU's previous opponents, Ohio State has number 2 overall defense in the nation. UCF, 31st. Old Dominion, which we talked about last week, has surprisingly really sound defense, 43rd. That worries me a bit. You know, we're going to go into the injuries that we're seeing right now, but, you know, who knows if the guys – see the action in Bowling Green, but if we're on our fourth, fifth, sixth string running back, I'm not sure if I'm going to have a lot of confidence in the team being able to put up a lot of points. Their offense doesn't really worry me, though, and that's something that we should be thankful for. Ty Story has made some strides, but I mean, 5 throwing touchdowns, but he doesn't make any mistakes. Just 2 picks, very much like Jason Driscoll. You know, how many times this year are we going to say game manager Jason Driscoll type of quarterback?
Yeah, but my only disagreement with that is they don't have. There's no one really on the edges that kind of have that game changing like Driscoll had. I mean, Driscoll, all he had to do is be a game manager.
Yeah.
That defense depended more on turnovers, like we said in 17. But, you know, I do think it's an advantage for us. And I think this game comes under our defense, right? They don't have a ton of a big playability. And our defense's weakness this year has been giving up the big plays, whether we've had a broken coverage or, you know, poor tack, whatever it is. I like our chances in saying, okay, go 10 plays versus us.
And it's several times. Drive,
you just got to make them make one mistake. A sack is going to put it out for them. An interception, obviously. You know, a holding call. I'll say, okay, you know, because their third down offense has actually been pretty good. So they kind of just know how to just stay on the field. I mean, Gage Walker, their starting running back, no one else other than the quarterback has more than 60 carries for them, is only averaging 91 yards a game. You know, and like, so like 4.5 yards a carry. So he's kind of just a 20 carry back, 130 yards. And our third down defense has been good. So I challenge them to go 10 plays versus us. And, you know, kind of in order, and I'll bank on us making one play to kind of just make it too difficult for them to pick up a third down.
And I feel like that's been our MO this year. Yeah, we'll give up long drives, which we have done. But then, you know, once the offense goes into the red zone, we're able to make a stop or we're able to force a turnover. Hence why we have one of the best turnover ratios in the country, tied for the best turnover ratio in Conference USA. So I'm right there with you. Let them – and they will sustain drives, guys. I really think they will. I'm pretty high on Walker. 6 touchdowns, 4.7 yards per carry. I don't think that's really that much of a joke. I think they will get sustained long drives against us. As long as we're able to stop them, at the end of the day, like you said, just force one mistake out of a 12-play drive, then I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean, their receiving core, they do have a couple of receivers that can help with that. Lucky Jackson and Ja'Cory Pearson each have 46 catches. There's a huge drop off after that. So, you know, it's kind of a dink and dunk. I don't know if I said this on the podcast last week or it reminds us of, for older Dolphin fans, of how like the Dolphins won under Ricky Williams without a real great back, or the Dave Wannstedts this year. Let's just like play the field position thing, have put together a few nice long drives, keep the game close, and we'll see if our defense can win it for us in the end. And they've done that for the most part.
Yeah, I'm looking at because the seniors this year would be the kind of the last year of Jeff Brohm. So for, you know, to go back a couple of years, Jeff Brohm had great success before he moved on to Purdue. Then they hired Mike Sherman. Is that his name? For the past 3 years, and he, you know, Charlie Partridge'd it.
No. It wasn't Mike Sherman.
Well, I can't remember his name. He was Notre Dame's offensive coordinator, I'm pretty sure, when he came in. But I'm looking at the depth chart now, and there's really not many, you know, it's not a senior-laden team. There's a lot of juniors, but, you know, kind of the high-talented, you know, recruits that Jeff Brohm was bringing in, I don't think are quite there. But, you know, your record is your record. They are 5-3. I did see a stat that said, you know, that's what their record is, but that Western Kentucky potentially could not be bowl eligible because of their remaining schedule, which seems kind of crazy because they were way out in front of Conference USA. But they do have a pretty challenging schedule coming home, really starting with us. And, I think it's going to be a tough game, but Western Kentucky is one of those teams, is probably the the lone team outside of FIU that we, you know, we are to Western Kentucky what Middle Tennessee or Marshall is to us, where for some reason we have their number. I think our the overall record is 7-3. Yeah, where FAU's won 7 out of 10 times. And there's been a couple games where we shouldn't have won. You know, there's some memorable games like 2014 when Quez led a big comeback and Trey Hendrickson had basically destroyed Brandon Dowdy. That was a pretty exciting game that we had. Jack mentioned the Keith Reeser interception through a lateral for a touchdown. That was a pretty exciting game, but we just kind of have Western's number. You know, hopefully we can continue that, but it's just Western is one of those teams that we just, for whatever reason, you know, maybe we catch them at the right time of the year, things are clicking right. FAU has won the last two games, obviously 2017, and they've kind of been close outside of the debacle that was 2016, 52-0, I think it was. They've always been close games, and even the 2017 year when we were in Bowling Green and won, we did win by double digits, but it was late into the fourth quarter. Motor broke a big run, then I think Willie Wright had a catch at the end there. So I don't know. It certainly, I think we're relatively, you know, at this time of year, even matched, we've got things that are wrong. They've got things that are wrong. We're better at some things. They're better at some things. I think that's kind of why we are sitting even in Conference USA, essentially.
Yeah, I wanted to say that the 2017 game, real quick, that I feel like that really turned that season around because we really didn't do anything special before then. And then late in the second half, we just took over and we didn't look back since then. Mike Stanford was their coach, Mike Stanford Jr., I thought it was a decent hire. He's, you know, obviously got fired and he's now the offensive coordinator at Utah State. Tyson Helton, who was the offensive coordinator at Tennessee, you already mentioned, lost to Central Arkansas to start the season. He's doing a decent job there, but this is a must win for both teams. Whoever wins this game is still in the CUSA East hunt. Whoever loses this game is out. And for Western Kentucky, as you mentioned, Dan, and good job by that, it's a must win because their schedule is very difficult after this. They play Arkansas on the road. Yeah, I mean, Arkansas isn't that good of an SEC team, but, you know, still an SEC team. Then they're going to Hattiesburg to play Southern Miss, and then they have their rivalry, 100 miles of hate, against Middle Tennessee. So definitely not an easy schedule for them after this. If they lose this game, it puts them in a corner. So we're going to have to expect an absolute dogfight from the Hilltoppers in conditions that FAU players aren't normally used to. And by that, I mean it's going to be cold. We talked about it a little bit earlier this week and last week. The temperatures are going to be in the mid-50s at kickoff at 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, and they're just going to plummet. And it's going to suck. And I'm cold thinking about it. I don't know how you guys feel, but I really genuinely think it's a disadvantage. And Lane Kiffin said so on Tuesday that this is a challenge. That this is the exact quote he used is non-traditional weather for the players. 96 players on our roster are from Florida. I doubt most of them have ever seen snow before.
It's going to be like, I'm kind of not buying it. 55 degrees and then like low 40s when you're playing football this isn't the frozen tundra, you know, that there's not going to be fog coming off the player's head. It actually sounds like really enjoyable football weather.
You're nuts.
You know what I mean?
You're nuts.
We're talking 40 degrees.
I think it's going to be, it would be, you know, somewhat.
Like, I promise you every kid that's from Orlando on the football team probably played a state high school playoff game in the same temperature range.
I don't think it would be that fun as a fan, but again, once you get moving around, especially playing every down, they're going to build up some heat. But I think know.
Yeah, but if it was like 25 and a little bit of snow, or like, you know, right at freezing and it was raining. But we also went up there and the weather had nothing to do with it. It was raining that game you guys talked about in 2017. Yep. This is supposed to be sunny. So almost kind of like, you know, a sweater weather game. But yeah, you talk about dogfighting stuff. And I mentioned D'Angelo Malone as being in here. He's the key to this game. I don't even care if he gets a couple of sacks. I mean, FAU can – we've shown we can manage third and long. You know, the bigger concern is right now we do not know the status of half the running backs. You know, there's questions, you know, let's see how Chauncey Mason plays and Tyree Tisdale. I mean, we're talking fourth, fifth string running backs coming out of camp. Larry didn't play last week. I don't know if they've been practicing this week. It's, you know, it's hard to tell with FAU. But, man, is this a game where I would be okay with if their run defense is great and we don't have running backs and we go back there and we just let Chris rip the ball 45 times?
Yeah.
Would anyone be okay with dying on that sword? Because I would be. I mean, there's part of me that says, okay, let's – we got two great tight ends, okay? Mitchell's been kind of quiet the last few weeks. They haven't really had a ton to use them, but like, let's like let Chris just kind of, I will take my chances at Chris throwing for 350 yards, three touchdowns, and we run for a modest 100 on the ground just when we need to, because they stop the run. I mean, we're talking pass to set up the run type game.
I feel more comfortable with Chris certainly than last year with him this year. He's shown that he's capable of putting up those kind of numbers, being pretty consistent. Again, he kind of always has one or two throws a game where you're like, I don't know. But he, you know, he's only turned the ball over a handful of times, and outside of getting sacked a bunch against Marshall, he's played a pretty solid year. You know, you mentioned John Mitchell's been kind of quiet. We've, you know, had some good output from D'Angelo Antoine. He's kind of been a steadying force, even more than just jet sweeps. He tends to one or two plays a game, get open downfield somehow. And yeah, I mean, let's turn into an air raid offense here, and you know, see what happens. And like you said, Larry didn't play at all last week, and he's got a high ankle sprain. And we talked about this earlier, but that's just the kind of injury that just lingers, and you think you're doing well and you make a bad cut and, you know, you're right back down to it. You know, that could have been by design that he didn't play and really give him two solid weeks. We're not, you know, Larry, we don't need you. James Charles is going to be fine with what we've got. So, you know, I've got trust in Lane. I think in the beginning of the year, I probably wouldn't have said that I've got the trust in Chris, but again, he's shown that he's capable of doing this. And also he's seems to be, you know, he was injured, but he seems like he's going to be playing this week.
And so this is how we're thinking. I can't believe I'm saying this with FAU, that we're going to try and use the pass set up the run when it's to feel like, since Lane Kiffin has been here, it's always been the other way around.
It's 2019, baby.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is what's suggested or this is what our normal offense. This is just me saying, would you guys feel okay dying on that sword? Because it could very well, if we go out of our offense, if that run game's just not working and they decide we're going to just throw the ball, Chris could go out there and have a three-pick game and then everyone's going, you know, throwing their hands up going, you know, why didn't we run a normal offense?
I mean, it's because I don't really have a lot of confidence that we'll be able to run our normal offense with Malone and linebacker Kyle Bailey back there. We're going to give up sacks. We're not going to get a lot of yards on the ground. But what we're talking about, if that situation happens where we have to go out of our element and we can dive on that sword, that's if Chris starts. What if it's Tronti? Just hypothetical here, guys. What if it's Tronti? And we know he's a run first kind of guy, and they're shutting down our run. Are we going to have that same situation? We're just like, well, yeah, just have him do an air raid, sling it out by the second quarter because nothing else is working.
Well, we better hope the defense scores.
Yeah, if that's the case, yeah.
I mean, they held Army to 8 points. So yeah. we're not running the triple option with Tronti, essentially, better than Army is doing it. And even though Army struggled this year, they're not as good as a lot of people thought.
Surprising.
Chris did practice today. I mean, let's say Jake Elman was tweeting out. I mean, it's not a huge secret. You know, I thought if he was going to maybe try and
milk it,
the skies a little bit more. But, you know, it was tweeted that he was practicing. You know, who knows what lingering injuries were there. But, like, I would be super shocked if Tronti walks out there to start. You know, again, the bigger question is the running backs in the D-line that got banged up. It didn't seem any of the D-line was seriously hurt. It all seemed like kind of minor stuff. But, again, the running back situation is kind of in dire straits right now. I mean, we've just – and that was our deepest position. And, I mean, thanks that we did have deep, but, I mean, deep – not deep enough. I mean,
yeah,
it's, you know, I mean, and I'm just saying we're going to go out there and it's like a play that frustrated me in the first drive of the Old Dominion game. First play we go, I think we picked up a couple first downs or even just one first down. And it was a 3rd and 3 and we ran like it was a outside zone read to the right side of the offensive line. And I was just kind of going, why, you know, it's obviously we right now right tackle is the issue. Marquise Robinson's been kind of beat up. BJ Etienne's struggled there. Doug Johnston's been hurt. So, you know, we're kind of right tackle's been kind of a swinging gate of players and literally of you know how they're flocking this year. It's a tough situation. You know, they put Humphrey in at both guard positions last week. You know, I did, there was even situations I noticed there's a couple of it was where Nick Weber, I thought kind of struggled on some blocks and
yeah.
You know, Lane said this week, you could see him at either guard position. So, you know, they're going to have a quick leash on it, but you know, Western Kentucky has an ability to pass rush with four, which really we haven't seen. UCF and Marshall killed us with blitzing. Okay. They really get to us with creative blitzes, showing it late, us not being able to make proper calls at the line. This is just no. I mean, Ohio State got to us with four, but you know they have a side. Yeah.
At defensive end.
They got to us with one. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting, and I'm even curious if you know West Kentucky tries to mix it up and bring some pressure. You know, with us kind of anticipating it. So, I mean. We'll see. But like I said on Sunday, our A game is better than theirs. I mean, we're talking about Western Kentucky's defense. I still have a ton of belief in our defense just because how many plays they make all year. You know, we lead the conference. I said this on Sunday in tackles for loss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're up there in sacks. You know, I think we're second or third in interceptions. You know, outside of the big plays, if we don't let any big plays, I don't see how this Western Kentucky team breaks 21 versus us.
It's just whether or not we're able to outscore them. I know it sounds stupid and mundane, but that's just the way it's going to be because I don't see them putting a lot of points against us, but I don't see us putting up a lot of points on them. That's it. That defense line is so skillful, they don't need a blitz, and they'll put all their other guys in the backfield.
Tyson Helton said that it's almost – this game's kind of a race to 30.
I can see that.
He said that.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's right on.
And that's how I, you know, kind of expect it to go.
Hopefully that the experience that we had with UCF and then kind of rehashing that with Marshall, where, like you said, they just sent more guys than we could block. And hopefully that situation will benefit us here because coaches will be able to pick up on it, you know, and get the right tight ends, get the right running backs into the game that are going to be best for blocking purposes. And again, it's the line came out, opened at, as FAU, a 2-point underdog, which seems, It's going to be a close game. I mean,
that's a pick 'em. I mean, that's just two. That's I think NFL is 2 points, college is 3 points.
Yep.
for home and away. I saw the FPI, you know, ESPN's or S&P, their S&P rankings have us winning by a point and a half. It seems the computers like us, but, you know, the Vegas insiders like, you know, Western Kentucky. But, you know, I also wonder what that number is if they didn't come back versus Marshall.
Yeah.
That was a game dominated by Marshall for three quarters.
Yeah.
So it's kind of curious.
I thought it was interesting that the line actually moved to 3 for Western Kentucky a couple days ago. And as of Wednesday evening, it shifted to 1.5. I think as word of you know, Chris practicing has kind of trickled out, the line is starting to move closer to FAU's favor a little bit.
If we're going to get into some real gambling talk, that's the people.
Yeah.
Betting the lineup and then the sharps.
Realizing what's going on.
Yeah, coming down and taking the line for us. I mean, you'd have to go see, like, what percentage of the people and then compared to what percentage of the money. You know, if, like, 80% of the people is on Western Kentucky, but 50% of the money split, and you know the sharps are on FAU, which anyone who's listening who gambles, you always want the sharps on your side. They tend to be good at it.
What's the line for FAU winning the coin toss again? Because I'm about to bet my student loan debt on that. We've only lost that one once, I want to say.
Wow.
Yeah, just one time. I think it was to Marshall.
Oh,
and it, yeah, surprise. No, maybe it was Marshall, or was it last week? I can't remember. Last week to Old Dominion, whatever. So it'll be an interesting one, no doubt. I'm nervous. I don't know about you guys. I'm just – it's crazy how we're talking about, you know, week by week, this is the biggest game of the year. You know, first we said that for Charlotte. Then we said that for Middle Tennessee and Marshall, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger as the season goes on. So, yet again, biggest game of the year.
I will say I am glad we have this game is on the road. I'm just glad FAU didn't have to have a home game scheduled at the same time versus FSU and Miami and Florida, Georgia.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked out in our favor.
Yeah, that sucked.
We're going against them for TV ratings, but I, the diehard FAU fans will be watching.
Yeah. This game, again, is on ESPN Plus, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So hopefully we've got better luck this week than we did last week.
And funny you mentioned it, Brandon Dowdy is actually on the analyst. The
yeah, this has got to be their local network.
But I mean, that's just cool, though. Remember, he's a local cat,
right?
From Broward County.
Yeah.
Well,
I meant like local to Western Kentucky.
Well, yeah.
We kind of talked about it. So when ESPN Plus games are produced by the schools, so whoever the home school is kind of gets the announcer. Like Frank Fort calls our ESPN Plus games, which works for FAU. Right. So,
but he's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frank Fort's been doing sports in South Florida for 40 years. He's a class act.
Yeah.
But if you guys are listening to the game too, and there's a little homerism, I mean, that's just, you're basically listening to their home radio call.
Just mute it and put on the tune in radio and you'll get Bartels and Ken Lavicka.
Absolutely.
I did that last week, and they're both streamed, so there is some delay. But the radio, the TuneIn app was delayed a little bit more. So maybe you need to listen on an old timey radio if you can dig one out of your dad's garage and tune into AM. So yeah, should be a good game. And I like FAU's chances if Chris is healthy. I think we can plug enough in at running back. You know, James Charles has stepped up, done what he's needed to. Certainly he hasn't been as successful as Malcolm Davidson or
Larry. He had a good run last week, though.
Yeah, he's done. He's what you would want in a backup running back. The drop off isn't so horrendous that we're like, well, you know, who are we going to hand the ball off to? So I feel confident
enough. I think all of our backs, Tisdale, you know, all these guys are capable of big runs. It's more just like, who do we trust right now? It's like, okay, it's tight. You know, their coverage has been great. It's third and three. We need someone just to make one nice cut, put the pads down, and get the yard, make the right read, feel comfortable with the quarterback. We saw that when they put Tronte in. There was a there was one time where the mesh point was kind of off. You know, a lot of times this that stuff just all feeling. It's not just like once they hand the ball, is this guy fast and strong? A lot of it's kind of feeling what the quarterback's doing and knowing to delay it and being smart and letting the offensive linemen do their work and hitting the right hole. You know, Larry's good at that. That's why he scored six touchdowns, you know, and everything's in the red zone. So it's like in a game where first downs might be at a premium, converting a few more of those third and three type plays without having to depend on getting the ball to Harris and Bryant would be important. But again, my hope is FAU offensively this week is just get enough big plays. All right, just a few huge plays this game. We might not be able to drive the ball consistently against them. Get a few big plays, you know, get to 28 points with just a few big plays, and then cross your arms and say, defense, can you make enough to hold them under that?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, again, we have the offensive talent. You know, we talked a little bit about Willie. Maybe Willie's turning the corner with his bloop single of a touchdown run last week that gets him going. There was, you know, Jake Elman wrote about it, and Sun Sentinel wrote about it as well, about, you know, him kind of overcoming some things. So we're hoping for the best for him.
Yeah, it'd be so great to get him going. I mean, he's such, you know, we talk about big plays. I mean, he might have had the biggest play in last time we were up in Bowling Green.
Yeah.
You know, the replay where the West Virginia's entire defense thought
it was going to be a run.
It was going to be a run. He was wide open, and, you know, he got in the end zone, you know. And we tried the flea flicker last week, which was fine. But, man, I just want to see one of those crazy lane trick plays. Like, does he have it this week? Like, I kind of want to see would we see Kendall Briles – and when we were in a lot of trick plays,
we don't have a wide receiver who can throw like Cam Solomon. You know, he was kind of the go-to wide receiver who would throw. But yeah, maybe this is the week that they bust out the trick plays.
No, can Tronte play running back? Let's get them both out on the field, right? Like, right. I mean,
he practically does already. So
yeah, I mean, let's. I would like to see it, because let's also remember the Western Kentucky game in 2017. That's when we had that fake punt call, because that was a close game for a while. Yeah. And the fake punt call is kind of what started. We scored on that drive, and then it started. Then what? Willie Wright had the long catch for the touchdown, and then Motor had like a game breaking, you know, which kind of just blew the doors off, you know.
And it was really the fake punt really helped turn that tide of the game. But I think it was the interception midway through the third quarter. I can't remember who did it. I want to say Herb Miller for some reason.
He did have a pick that game. It might
sideline the jump ball, right?
I don't know if that.
I can't remember.
Andrew Sora and Herb Miller each had an interception.
Okay.
I think Sora's was in the middle of the field.
So then it was definitely Herb Miller's then that turned that game around, because that was the one out on the sideline. And then it was just great to see. And that's something that we're going to have to do again. We're going to have to create turnovers this time around in Bowling Green to walk out with a victory.
Yeah. Well, like we've been saying, it should be an entertaining game. And hopefully that the good guys can bring it home. You know, we again, saying every game is the biggest game of the week. If FAU, or biggest game of the year, if FAU wants to have a chance to win the conference, it starts this week. And then we need a little bit of help, but we'll take it week by week. So, I think this was a pretty good conversation. We hope you guys enjoyed it. As always, we really appreciate you going along with us. Make sure you check us out, iTunes, search for Inside the Burrow, and any other podcasting apps. YouTube, FAU, just look for the FAU Owl's Nest on YouTube because that's where it gets posted, and then obviously FAUAliceNest.com for all of the game breakdown, midweek mashup, if you want to get some stats midweek, those have been fun to read, and certainly the forum conversation that's been going on. So thank you again for joining us, and we will see you guys next week with the breakdown. Thanks, go out.